for charming her and not telling him about my daggers, Millie muttered in sorrow. He's never looked so disappointed before. I argued with the Crown Prince over nothing but empty words, Rowan moaned. My dignity is gone. I got chased down by a dog and slobbered on before escaping, Claire sniffled. My hair still smells like a dog. They all sighed together. Our plan won't work anymore, Rowan muttered. The prince already had tracker beasts chase down the remnants of the slime. Unfortunately, that only led them to Doc's emergency exits around the town. Now they really think he's the murderer. At least we won't have to break into their headquarters now, Millie pointed out. That's one less thing to worry about. I feel so dirty and violated, Claire whined. What are we going to do now? Millie asked Rowan.
I have no idea.
Rowan sighed.
This seems to be the end of our investigation. We have no more leads.
In that case, why not try a vacation?
The trio exchanged a confused look.
I didn't say that, Rowan said.
Me neither, Millie exclaimed.
Ah, that voice sounded a lot like...
Claire trailed off. With a bang, the floor opened up into a hole, revealing two small pups, a blue woman in old armor, and a purple slime. The purple slime waved its tentacles in greetings.
Claire, we came to join you on vacation, Doc announced happily.
Chapter 18 Doc waved his tentacles for a few more moments before realizing nothing was happening.
Did I mess up my entrance? He asked Claire. Maybe I should have burst forth from the ceiling instead.
Doc!
Claire exclaimed happily as she tackled the slime in a big hug. She felt the cool slime against her skin and smiled in contentment before realizing the current situation. She backed away and slapped the slime hard, sending jiggles through it.
Doc, why are you here in the town? Don't you know how dangerous this is?
Claire paused as another thing occurred to her.
By the way, we're on the second floor. How'd you manage to break through the floor?
Millie looked on in surprise and confusion. She turned to Rowan with a questioning gaze.
Rowan, what's going on? And are you feeling okay?
Millie asked as she noticed Rowan's pale face getting paler.
Oh, right, she can't hear me, Doc muttered. Claire, can you help translate?
This slime is Doc, Claire informed Millie. Suffice to say, this is the dungeon spirit you've heard so much about from me and Rowan. He speaks using the bond we have with him, rather than through sound, though his crystal body could speak to anyone touching it.
He's also an impulsive master who acts without consideration.
Rowan rolled his eyes and crossed his arms over his chest.
Doc, how in the world did you manage to leave the dungeon? That's suicide, isn't it, Claire?
I would normally agree, Claire said hesitatingly. Except I still feel the contract I have with Doc. He seems to be in two places at once.
There is no need to fear.
Doc patted Claire's head with a tentacle.
Even though my mind is currently in this slime body, my spirit is still connected to my crystal. You can't see it, but I have a line of slime connecting my crystal body to this slime.
To demonstrate, the slime used its tentacle to reveal a narrow string of slime that was connected to its back. The string moved down into the hole the dungeon monsters had come from.
This way, Doc explained, I'm able to be in two places at once, even if it's the same medium.
Rowan and Claire shared a glance of suspicion.
Doc,
Claire now also folded her arms across her chest.
Exactly where does this slime trail travel through to get here?
I made a new emergency exit that's right under this, tavern. It leads right to the heart room, and I even made it big enough for adventurers to crawl through.
Rowan and Claire all stared at Doc, their expressions devoid of emotion and twitching profusely.
Why would you do that?
They yelled together at Doc. Millie bounced backward in startled shock. Doc flinched, and the odd blue woman stepped defensively in front of him.
Please do not frighten our lord, she pleaded.
Hey,
I can hear her, Millie declared.
Doc wiggled his body to face Millie from behind Anodyne.
So, this is the little adventurer that Rowan talks with. Young lady, you have been an excellent ally of the dungeon. Even though none of us remember when Rowan told you our secret, you have done a wonderful job keeping it for us.
What's he saying? Millie whispered as she watched the slime jiggle, wiggle, and create various shapes with its tentacle.
Is he talking to me?
Doc seemed to deflate as Rowan translated.
You know, this is getting tiresome. I don't want my words of thanks translated by a third party.
After a brief moment of contemplation, Doc clapped one tentacle into another.
I've got it! Catch!
In a spur of motion, Doc's slime body flew up Anodyne's back and leapt off her shoulder, landing on Millie's head. He quickly engulfed the startled girl's head and forced his slime down her ears, nose, and mouth.
Doc, release her!
Rowan cried out in panic as he threw his hands into the slime in a vain effort to remove it.
She can't breathe, Doc. Let go.
Stop it, Doc,
Claire screeched as well, her wings uselessly flapping as she too tried to remove the slime.
Doc, her eyes are rolling back into her head. You're going to break her. Humans have breaking points.
After a few more moments, Doc loosened his grip and removed his tentacles from Millie's head. Rowan and Claire unceremoniously threw Doc into the hole, to the horror of the twins and Anodyne, and lay Millie down as they hurriedly examined her.
Millie, are you okay? How many fingers am I holding up? Claire asked, worried. Do you need some milk or magic Pepto-Bismol?
Millie groaned and slowly raised her body up.
I feel like I just went through a horrible tentacle-related nightmare, she said while shivering.
Well, it wasn't a nightmare, Rowan admitted. But tell us how you feel. Are you in pain? Do you feel wrong in any way?
I feel like I need another bath, Millie admitted. But I'm more concerned with those three over there. They seem to be quite worried about Doc. I can hear their panicked voices quite clearly.
Claire and Rowan gave each other a surprised look.
You can hear the twins? Claire asked.
Well, yeah. I mean, they're shouting down the hole loud enough to be heard at the palisade.
Millie covered her ears.
I can't seem to get them to be quiet.
Daddy!
With a shriek, Millie scrambled over to the hole. She peered over the edge and screeched,
Hey, why are all the chairs piled together in the pantry? Ah, the slime melted a chair! My daddy is going to kill us!
The two pups stopped shouting and turned their attention to the human next to them.
Are you talking about the bigger human?
One of the pups asked in human speech.
My sister and I waited until his smell was gone before entering this den.
Millie blinked at them.
Wait, are you the twins?
The two pups raised their paws and waved them back and forth in a very human fashion, as if they were greeting someone from a distance.
So cute, Millie exclaimed. Your fur is beautiful.
The twins shared a glance before they shifted their bodies to look at Millie. They stared up at her.
Are you Millie?
One of them asked.
Are you trustworthy?
Questioned the other.
I'm Millie, and I'm trustworthy, Millie asserted. Who are you?
Isla,
the one on the left said.
Aisha,
said the one on the right.
Want to be friends?
Millie asked, stretching her hand out toward them. She backed away quickly as they growled at her.
Careful, Millie, Claire warned. They may look cute now, but the twins have served Doc well as some of his strongest bosses. Doc, are you all right?
The slime hopped out of the hole and vibrated itself like it was shivering.
I'm all right, he said. I used up a bit of mana connecting Millie to the dungeon mind, so I wasn't ready for landing. I had to reassemble myself.
Is that what you did to me? Millie asked curiously. Couldn't you have done it in a less invasive manner?
I needed to reach the inside of your head.
Doc seemingly shrugged his slime body.
That way, I could create a whisper slime and leave it there.
You put a slime in my head?
Millie screamed in horror.
No, I don't want to get eaten.
The slime is harmless, Doc argued. All it does is vibrate out the sounds of our mental voices so you can hear it. It'll only kill you if you try to reveal our secrets.
Claire frowned. Doc, I don't think that's the best way to make friends. Friends don't stick booby traps in friends' necks.
So, did I do wrong? Doc asked.
I can't really fault it, Claire admitted. At the very least, it solves the problem of trusting her, and it helps her hear us. Now I can talk to her mentally without having to use my magic.
Can I offer a complaint of privacy invasion? Millie demanded, obviously infuriated by the conversation. Not really, Doc shook his slime.
Millie produced her replacement throwing daggers, which began to float around her in a circle. Even though they lacked the strength of the weapons granted by Temptra, no one took her threat as a joke. The twins growled, and Anodyne took a protective stance in front of Doc. These daggers will still attack even if I die, Millie warned with a red glow in her eyes. Claire and Rowan stood off to the side, both looking worried and conflicted. Doc examined the daggers, sighed, and shrugged his slime body's tentacles.
Fine, I'll remove the core so the slime can no longer grow. It'll still function as a whisper slime, but without any threat of murder. We okay?
With a tentacle beckon, a stone rolled out of Millie's ear. Millie's face scrunched up in disgust at the initial feeling, but she relaxed as the stone disappeared.
Sure, but no more slimes in my house. Also, fix the hole, chairs, and move the entrance hole to the practice area in the back instead of the pantry. I have a secret exit to the practice area in my closet.
Deal.
Doc shook tentacles with Millie's hand. Claire let out a sigh of relief as tensions died down.
Well, she smiled wryly. Now that that's out of the way, Anodyne, why do you have legs, and why are you wearing adventurer armor? Also, how are you talking out loud?
Oh, allow me to explain everything,
Doc said exuberantly as he poked out from behind the slime woman.
See, while Claire here has been gone, I've had a lot of time to do some dungeon experiments with new traps and slimes. In order to test them properly, I've had the twins and Anodyne take on adventurer forms to test them. Unfortunately, their immortality has proven an issue with avoiding the traps. They never dodge. Then, Doc continued, I called Claire and heard all about what's been going on in town. I got really concerned, since I don't like the idea of being killed over something I didn't do. I mean, I don't want to be killed at all, but this just seems like a dumb reason to die. So, I had a brilliant idea.
He paused dramatically.
Why not fix both my problems? I asked myself. The two teens could come into the dungeon to train and test my traps, and my bosses could investigate the town for the murderer.
Gods above, is there anyone in the dungeon to mind it right now?
Claire gasped in horror.
I mean, any intelligent beings.
I told you earlier, I'm still there, Doc reminded her. Anyway, during my testing, Anodyne managed to perfect her adventurer disguise. Once I gave her some of the female armor I had in my astral bag, she became a perfect slime hiding in plain sight. She also learned to talk by copying adventure throats that I had, lying around.
Except she's blue, Rowan pointed out. You've covered her up pretty good, but her palms, face, and neck are too blue and see-through to ever pass as a normal person.
I have a solution to that, too, Doc countered eagerly. Behold, the booze slime!
With a flourish from his tentacles, an amber-brown-colored slime emerged from the hole in the floor.
I hope your plan doesn't involve making the whole town drunk, Rowan said dryly. Though, doing that would certainly improve your reputation, given the coming shortage of booze.
I don't have enough booze slimes for that, but this slime is perfect for Anodyne. Watch!
With another flourish, Doc gave Anodyne a signal. The slime woman obliged by sticking a tentacle into the booze slime. With audible gulps, the tentacle began to suck the slime away from the booze slime into Anodyne's body. Slowly, the visible blue tinge changed to a tan color, reminiscent of the skin of a farmer who worked too hard in the sun. Anodyne stopped after the booze slime had lost half of its slime. She hiccuped and covered her mouth in embarrassment.
Excuse me, she apologized. What do you think? Doc asked Millie and Rowan.
Millie walked around Anodyne in a circle, carefully examining each part of the pseudo-adventurer. She poked certain parts, sighing when there was no reaction. Rowan just looked Anodyne up and down and shrugged.
She looks fine to me. Her skin matches, and her eyes are visibly brown, too. I think her hair needs a little less brown. Otherwise, I think she'd catch too much attention. Also, it's not wise to wear adventurer clothing in a town where every adventurer is gone.
Millie clicked her tongue at Rowan and waggled her finger at him.
Just like a boy. You haven't at all seen the various flaws in this disguise. For instance, she pointed at Anodyne's chest. Her chest is disproportionate to her waist. It needs to be a finger length thicker on each side. Another thing, here, she picked up Anodyne's wrists. Look at this gauntlet around her wrists. It's clearly meant for a man's thick wrist. She filled it up perfectly with slime, but it clashes with her beautiful face. Also, why is she wearing leather pants with a metal breastplate?
Claire nodded in time with each one of Millie's criticisms, while everyone else in the room stared on blankly.
Am I ugly?
Anodyne asked slowly.
No,
Millie and Claire cried out together.
You just need a little work, Millie admitted.
We'll help you, Claire promised.
Ahem, Rowan interrupted. As much as I hate to disrupt this blossoming friendship, what was that about going back to the dungeon? I'm also curious to know why a boo slime has changed Anodyne into a person.
The boo slime changes Anodyne's color, and she can control the amount of color in her body, Doc explained.
That makes no sense, but since magic is involved, I don't really want to get into the issue. Now, what about going to the dungeon?
Rowan pressed.
Yes, Doc chirped up from his slime body. I've decided that you and Millie will take turns in the dungeon, facing my traps and slimes. That way, you both will get stronger, and in the meantime, the one of you not training will assist my bosses in tracking the rogue slime.
Millie rubbed her hands together.
Well, I'm up for it. I need to practice using my new daggers anyway, once I get them back, of course.
Millie, no,
Rowan hissed, grabbing her shoulders and turning her to face him.
Listen, Doc doesn't know the meaning of restraint. His traps, especially the new ones, are normally overkill.
I resent, yet agree with that remark.
Doc jiggled contentedly.
Don't worry, though. I used the twins and Anodyne to test them, as I said before. They were fine.
They are immortal, Rowan argued. We, and especially Millie, are not.
What was that about your mortality?
Millie asked, suddenly alert.
Nothing important to this discussion, Rowan sidelined, ignoring Millie's suspicious look. What's important now is that Doc is making us risk life and death for his amusement.
Well, it's not like I haven't been doing that since I opened as a dungeon, Doc pointed out. And in any case, I've seen both of your current abilities. You are both some of the weakest adventurers in town. Millie was the only one out of you two with any real combat ability, and her daggers no longer give her the same amount of magical strength. I'd say, in order for you both to survive whatever is coming, you and Millie need to learn to fight properly.
And a dungeon can teach us how to fight as humans.
Rowan rolled his eyes in disbelief.
Your time away from the dungeon has really made you cheeky, Doc grumbled. When you first woke up, you were so polite and respectful to me.
I've learned how impulsive and inconsiderate you can be, Rowan muttered. Also, no matter, why are you so fixated on getting Millie and I into your dungeon?
Honestly, I'm quite bored, Doc admitted. There's not much to do besides testing new traps and trying to unlock new slime evolutions. I need adventure input, and since you both are allies and adventurers, you're the best help I can get. Not only that, but while the other is training, one of you can help take my bosses around town to search for the murderer.
Is that wise, though? Millie questioned as she turned away from Anodyne. Your wargs can pass as puppies, but they are liable to attract a great deal of attention with their cuteness. If they attack anyone, it'll be a problem. We can take human shape,
Isla offered, showing off her smoke transformation into a hooded figure.
Take off the hood, Millie retorted.
Isla slumped in defeat.
I can't, she sighed. There's nothing under it.
Don't try it, Claire warned as Millie took a step toward Isla. Doc and I tried it once. There is literally nothing under the hood, because this form is a magical illusion. They haven't evolved into a high enough monster to have a proper human guise yet.
So, two puppies and a suspicious adventurer, Rowan counted. I guess we could make it work. Especially if we tell Fred we hired Anodyne as our bodyguard.
I'll make up the story, Millie agreed. He'll definitely listen once I teach Anodyne what to say to him. Though, explaining why she is the only adventurer in town will take some work. So, is this plan good then? Doc asked.
Rowan and Millie shrugged in resignation. This is as good a plan as any, Rowan chuckled. I was ready to give up anyway. Some training and new eyes on the investigation might be just what we need.
Great! Then you're first, Rowan!
With a slimy grin, or as best a slime could do in comparison, Doc grabbed the young man and leapt back down the hole, a screaming Rowan wrapped in tentacles following close behind.
Hey, fix what you broke, Millie called down the hole, not moving to save Rowan. I'll send some slimes back, Doc called cheerfully in farewell. Oh, sorry, Rowan, didn't see that ceiling there. Or that wall. Oh, hey, who put that floor there? Wait, that was me.
Chapter 19. Within the command tent, Ken waited patiently as Leo walked into the room with the final update.
All teams are ready in position, Leo reported to Ken. The adventurers have finished setting up their preparations in case of disaster. Our rangers are in position and ready to breach the treasury at any time. Everything is in place, sir.
Good. Ken nodded in satisfaction. It has been a trying few days. Did the adventurers manage to retrieve any valuables in their scouting?
They have been quite skilled in locating the forgotten valuables the warlocks missed. They've agreed to hand them over to the Crown in exchange for ration tickets. Not only that, but they also discovered a repository of rations.
Excellent, Ken muttered as he moved to the window facing the city.
He pulled out his magic spyglass and examined the decaying structures.
Let the adventurers know that the bundle of rations will be reserved for them after we get back. Anything else?
No, sir, Leo shook his head. They're all ready to begin the retrieval.
In that case, activate the magic stones. I wish to address the troops.
Leo turned and waved at the three rangers gathered around a large white stone, about the size of a head, which was resting in the middle of the command tent. They began chanting at Leo's signal, and the stone slowly changed from white to yellow. Ken walked over to the stone and placed his hand on it. He closed his eyes and felt the magic connect him to the receiver stones given to each squad.
To all teams, he began speaking. You have your orders. Rangers are to break into the vault undetected. Adventurers are to stand by and watch the patrols for signs of movement. Do not engage the enemy unless it is unavoidable. We are not here to fight a war. This is Ranger Commander Ken, and you may begin the mission.
So, what do you think? Doc asked curiously.
Rowan, who was absorbing dungeon mana to heal his wounds, frowned and rubbed his head.
I think you should never carry me down a corridor again. Humans, no, every other race in this world except slimes, have a hard time with repeated, vigorous contact with rock walls. I think that if I had been a normal human, I'd be injured enough to fall into a coma.
But you're not, and you're fine. Now, please, tell me this isn't a great practice floor. I worked hard to get everything right.
Rowan examined the floor. Coined the play floor by Doc, the 26th floor was very spacious. It resembled the gray slime floors on the 15th through 20th floors, except without the giant drop-off into the slime-filled lower level. From the entrance, Rowan could see individual rooms scattered around the floor. Three groups of five, to be exact,
and what looked like a long tunnel that had its own ceiling and walls not connected to the rest of the dungeon.
"So, what exactly am I looking at here, Sir Doc?" Rowan asked.
"Oh, so now it's Sir Doc," Doc asked incredulously. "What happened to all the disrespect you were showing me a few minutes ago?"
Rowan chuckled.
"Well, honestly, I'm feeling different after being pulled back in here. It's as if I'm living two different lives as two different people. For some reason, my mind feels the same as when I first woke up."
Do you think it's maybe because the undead half of you hasn't experienced living with the adventurers? Maybe after getting back near each other, your mind stabilizes. I don't know, but we should ask Claire later about it."
Rowan smiled.
"All right, but let's get back to your floor. I can see a few rooms from here, but why do they all look like individual houses? Why is your roof so high?"
"Aha!" Doc chortled in jubilation. "You noticed, I see. Well, allow me to disclose all the wonders I have down here."
He began leading Rowan through the room, toward the various sections. He pointed a tentacle.
"The first area is filled with slime trap rooms. I'm experimenting with the various things I can do with a slime to affect adventurers without actually fighting them. Claire began this train of thought by suggesting the use of a boo slime in the walls with an air duct above to allow the boo slime to drift into the room and intoxicate the adventurers. I'm currently trying out other slimes, but so far, only the fire and water slimes are showing any real progress. All they do is control the room temperature, I'm afraid. I'm moving to the herb family soon, though, and I'm hoping I can get some poison or paralysis slimes in here. Next group I have here contains all the trap rooms. Besides my standard pitfall and aerial traps, I'm also practicing the new traps like the slime launchers. I've discovered a new slime evolution to go with them, but more on that later. Recently, I've been having some luck moving the pitfalls on the floor to pitfalls on the ceiling. I'm not sure what to call them, though, because all they do is rain rocks down. Just having falling rocks is boring, so I need to determine which slime would be of most use with this kind of trap."
"Don't you have any earth-type slimes? As I recall, one of those is a rumble slime, correct? It already makes rocks fall from the ceiling, so why not have one be the trigger for the trap? Are you thinking a layer of rock ceiling falling, or individual stones of various sizes falling?"
Doc squirmed into a spiral before unraveling like a whirlwind.
"You've given me a wonderful idea, Rowan. I'll divide the traps into two types, a death trap and a normal trap. The death trap will have the entire ceiling fall down and crush anyone inside, and the normal trap will have normal stalagmites falling."
"You mean stalactite," Rowan corrected. "A stalagmite is a rock formation extending from the ground up. A stalactite is a rock formation on the ceiling."
"You adventurers have some weird words in your language sometimes," Doc grumbled. "Fine, I'll have some stalactites fall in the normal trap. Both traps can be avoided if the adventurers are able to find and kill the rumble slime hidden in the room."
"Just to make sure, you're having Millie and me test all these traps, correct? How would one find a rumble slime hidden in a room?"
"Look for the rock that isn't purple," Doc told him. "They're normally brown or gray, their color taken from the color of the stones they eat. Only thing is, all my stones have some kind of purple tinge to them due to my magic, but the earth slimes never seem to inherit the purple color. Now, where was I? Oh, right. This last area is for me to test slime evolutions and have them fight over slimes to analyze their individual abilities. For example, having a breeze slime and a flaming slime work together to fight against an overslime."
"What kind of overslime?" Rowan asked curiously.
"It's just a normal slime," Doc sighed. "For some reason, even though all slimes are supposed to grow into their overslime form after a time, I can only manage to create normal slime overslimes. I haven't determined the root cause yet, besides creating the original overslime boss."
"Perhaps it's a question of time. After all, you said yourself that all slimes grow naturally into their overslime forms. However, You recycle all your slimes before they have a chance to live long enough to change.
Huh, I'd never thought of it that way.
Doc rubbed his slime in deep contemplation.
I can certainly give that a try later. Anyway, these rooms are where you and Claire will fight against slimes to practice your own fighting skills. Last, but certainly not least, is the tunnel.
Doc hopped and squirmed over the floor to the beginning of the tunnel. He grandly waved his tentacles around like a young child with a new toy.
This tunnel is where I'm trying out the latest in new slime trap technology, trap tunnels. This tunnel simulates the conditions a normal adventurer would expect to find in a typical slime dungeon. However, it's filled with all kinds of trap goodies. Anodyne and the twins have been primarily helping me with this trap. Trap height, density, frequency, etc.
What was their final mortality rate?
Rowan coaxed, a bad feeling settling in the back of his throat.
Oh, 100%,
Doc admitted.
But that's because they kept ignoring the various injuries and fake blood pouring out of their bodies as they walked through. Immortals are horrible trap testers because they have no sense of preservation. That's why I needed you and Millie.
I'll be honest, Doc. This is really raising my danger instinct.
Rowan grimaced as he backed away from the entrance.
I mean, what did you even put in there?
Just some new toys. And this amazing new slime evolution. Behold.
Doc pointed his tentacles toward the ground.
The newest slime to grace the floors and bone pits of the dungeon. The mini slime.
A tiny slime, the size of a fist, appeared on the floor. It jumped in the air, less than a few inches, and wiggled its tentacles as if to say, ta-da. Rowan was not sure how to feel.
Doc, how in the world did you make a slime this small, and why did you want a slime this small?
Actually, this is technically not a real slime evolution, Doc admitted. This is actually a stage of the slime life cycle, just like the overslime. These are really baby slimes, freshly budded from a queen slime.
Queen slime? Rowan was shocked. I've never heard of such a slime, even with all my studies from two time periods.
I don't think anyone has, Doc agreed. I only found out through the dungeon analysis blue box. Supposedly, a queen slime is a legendary variant of the third stage of the slime life cycle. While every other slime reproduces by, what's it called again, meiosis? A queen slime can reproduce by mitosis.
I have no idea what either of those terms are.
I don't either, Doc shrugged. But for some reason, those words kept sticking in my head. The meiosis word means that the slime turns itself into many identical copies while eliminating the original. The mitosis word means the original can replicate itself forever, though some babies are variants.
So, Rowan summarized, you're saying these mini slimes are the copies of a queen slime. How were you able to get such a powerful creature?
I don't have it, Doc sulked. And these mini slimes are actually quite terrible at combat. Their slime isn't corrosive enough to melt through armor, enchanted or not. They die just from getting stepped on. However, Doc continued, perking right back up, I had an ingenious idea when considering the slime launchers. Allow me to demonstrate with a practice dummy.
With a thought, Doc summoned forth an adventurer corpse from his astral bag. Rowan was surprised to not smell a strong scent of decay, even though this adventurer had clearly been dead for quite some time.
Why are you keeping corpses and body parts in your astral bag?
Rowan deadpanned.
For situations like these, Doc retorted. Now, watch closely.
Summoning up an overslime, Doc took control and used his string-sized tentacles to control the corpse like a puppet.
Doc, this is quite horrifying,
Rowan announced, goosebumps sailing up his skin.
I'm having flashbacks to the zombie attacks from my kingdom.
Maybe I should make a puppeteer slime,
Doc murmured, completely ignoring Rowan.
I wonder which slime that would fall under. Wait, perhaps I should create a string slime first. Oh, I know. I'll see if one of the bug slimes can evolve later.
Guess he didn't hear me, Rowan muttered. Whatever.
This just reinforces my point to never make zombie servants. While Doc was in the thralls of evolutionary possibility, the corpse continued into the tunnel unabated. Within a few feet, however, the tunnel was filled with a loud buzzing as little wisps of something flew through the air. The corpse was punctured multiple times as it continued to move forward. After less than a minute, the corpse began to fall apart before Rowan's eyes. First, it was sloughs of skin, and then whole body parts fell free of the string's control onto the floor. Soon, the tunnel was littered with body parts. Rowan barely withheld the nausea that threatened to spill out of his mouth.
"I'm going to be sick," he muttered hoarsely.
"Oh, let me get you some slimes to throw up on. We might even discover a new evolution," Doc exclaimed.
In a few seconds, a poison slime, herb slime, and gray slime sat patiently in front of Rowan.
"Come on, Rowan, you can do it," Doc said encouragingly. "Here, take a whiff of these entrails. They're fresh."
Rowan couldn't take it anymore and let loose his earlier dinner all over the three slimes. While the gray and herb slimes eagerly, it seemed, absorbed the refuse, the poison slime shuddered and vibrated. Doc cheered as the previously dark purple slime changed color into a purple and gray slime.
"Woohoo! We made a sickness slime!" Doc cheered. "Let me see what it says. According to the magic blue box, the sickness slime is a slime that gives off a smell that renders opponents nauseated. It acts like the booze slime in afflicting status effects on prey to incapacitate them, eating them at its leisure. However, it lacks any strong attacks and can only attack like a regular slime."
"Wonderful! I can use this in the trap testing area."
"I'm glad you're happy," Rowan muttered sarcastically as he wiped his mouth. "But can you please explain what just happened to that corpse?"
"See for yourself."
Doc used his tentacle to point down the tunnel. Rowan turned his head and, instead of seeing a floor covered in innards, saw a tunnel flow covered in many slimes.
"Those suckers are really gluttons," Doc snickered. "See, even though the mini slimes can't eat their way into an adventurer, they can eat their way out and multiply along the way. I set up a dart hallway trap that launches mini slimes. They bounce off most armor, but if they hit skin, their tiny stone magic core draws blood. The fist-sized mini slimes feel the blood and follow it to its source, entering the body through the hole while the rest of the mini slime waits its turn. Even if the adventurer wipes off most of the slime, if they fail to destroy the core, then the slime continues to devour the adventurer from the inside. The only downside is that the mini slime is so small it can easily be destroyed by any healing spell that targets foreign objects. What do you think?"
"I think I want nothing to do with that trap." Rowan shook his head. "That's way too dangerous for any beginner adventurer."
"That's why you're here to help me get it right," Doc said cheerfully. "And you even get to use it to improve your reflexes after we're done adjusting it. Fun, right?"
"Sure. Now, let me leave," Rowan begged, as slime tentacles once again wrapped around him.
"Nope. We start testing now. Put on this adventurer armor and have at it. And be sure to get hit a few times."
Chapter 20. After Rowan's sudden and ill-fated departure, Millie took the dungeon girls over to her room.
"I now convene the first all-girl meeting of the Dungeon and Town Alliance," she declared happily. "My name is Millie, and I am a future adventurer and Rowan's party leader. I practice a form of clerical magic with the Lady of Desire as my patron."
Going along with the mood, Claire flew up to Millie's shoulder and curtsied.
"My name is Claire, and I am the dungeon pixie partner of Doc the Dungeon. I wield a variety of earth and dark magic, as well as innate pixie magic."
The two waited expectantly. Anodyne and the twins stared, blinking without words.
"It's your turn, girls," Claire prompted.
"We..."
the twins began to speak together.
"You have to introduce yourselves individually," Millie interrupted.
Claire nodded in agreement from Millie's shoulder.
My name is Isla,"
the first twin said hesitatingly.
"I am a warg in Doc's dungeon. I fight with my body and can use shadow magic. I am Aisha,
the other twin continued after her sister.
I am also a warg. My powers are the same as my sister's.
Is there anything that you two don't share? Millie asked curiously. The two girls shared a look of bewilderment as they considered what Millie asked.
I like chewing on the neck first,
Isla admitted.
The meat there is soft and chewy, with a great flavor. I like biting into the upper leg,
Aisha revealed.
It has a firm, meaty taste, different from the other parts.
Millie couldn't decide if she felt more horrified or intrigued.
My lord-given name is Anodyne, the slime girl proclaimed proudly. I am a wandering dungeon boss of my lord and master, Doc. I fight with my slime.
Can I ask you a question? Millie asked. Why are you capable of speaking intellectually? I thought all slimes were mindless.
I ate a lot of dungeon shards from the undead dungeon and gained sentience,
Anodyne boasted.
Now I am the ultimate wandering boss monster in the dungeon. Well, once I learn how to use my abilities properly.
Really? Is that all? I mean, any other slime would have just gotten stronger, right? Why did the dungeon shard increase your intelligence rather than your strength? Did you even evolve? Anodyne looked stumped. She folded her armored arms and began twisting her head like a screw.
We can think about that later, Claire quickly intervened. For now, why don't we do something about Anodyne's clothes? If we're going to go with a story that Anodyne is Millie's new bodyguard, then we'll need to have her look the part. Millie, do you have any clothes she can try on?
Distracted by the question, Millie turned her head absentmindedly and examined her closet. She walked over to the small room and rummaged through a pile of old clothes on the ground.
Let's see, I know it was here somewhere, she murmured as articles of cloth began to fly through the air. Ah, here, found it.
Millie took out a ballroom dress and handed it over the slime girl.
Try on this dress first so we can get a sense of your size, she ordered. I picked this up from one of the refugees a few days ago. It's a type of clothing adventurers wear when socializing.
To Millie's shock, however, Anodyne moved like water and exited the armor in a stream of slime. As the armor clattered to the floor, Anodyne's gelatinous body filled the dress perfectly, her slime moving to accommodate every curve.
Is this truly what adventurers wear when they are not fighting?
Anodyne frowned as she tugged on her new clothes.
It feels much too frilly to be of any use. We agree,
the twin spoke up, their little puppy eyes looking Anodyne up and down. Having shed her mishmash adventurer armor, Anodyne seemed to be experimenting with the ease of movement while wearing the outfit. The dress she was currently wearing was a long, flowing ball gown, covered in ribbons and tresses. It was a warm orange color and fully emphasized Anodyne's womanly figure. Rather, Anodyne's full figure emphasized the womanly curves of the dress. Millie clicked her tongue.
Well, I'll admit this has more frills than normal. I'll have you three know that this was the height of fashion back in Durin. I used to spy on the beautiful ladies from my bedroom window as they rode their carriages to the balls and other social functions with these and other dresses on. When I saw this for sale, I knew I had to buy it, but I need to grow into it.
Having said that, Millie then shot Anodyne a jealous look.
It's not fair that you have the perfect body, capable of fitting into any size and any outfit at your leisure. I might not even fit this dress after growing up.
Is it that big of an issue? Anodyne wondered as she shrunk and shimmied out of the dress.
As a slime, I can change my body into any form I desire because that's how I devour my enemies. I have no need for clothes. They get in the way of eating. Nor do I possess your odd sense of modesty and shame. Really, I think clothes are more trouble than they are worth. Armor seems to be effective, however.
Anodyne, Claire sighed with a pitiful expression.
You really don't understand how special your ability is. The ability to fit into any clothes is a power every female and some males would kill to acquire. If you keep talking so negatively about wearing clothes, I'll rip out my own hair.
Anodyne shrugged without worry.
All right, I won't say anything else. Do you want me to wear anything else?
With a cunning grin, Millie whipped out her tavern wench outfit.
Here, try this on.
Anodyne slipped into the revealing blouse and knee-length skirt, filling the material out. She watched the skirt curiously as she swung her hips to make the skirt fly up.
Millie, this outfit feels quite comfortable compared to the previous one,
Anodyne reported.
It's less frilly and is less constrictive, though the chest plate feels a little tight.
It's called a blouse. Millie glared with envy.
I see.
Anodyne considered with an interested face.
Do you have more of this style? Try this,
Claire giggled as she picked up one of the thrown shirts and tossed it to Anodyne. The five ladies continued the fashion show until dinner time. They went through Millie's entire collection and even stole some of Fred's shirts and pants. Millie and Claire ended up rolling on the ground giggling as Anodyne morphed herself into an almost perfect copy of Fred. After recovering, the girls continued to have Anodyne shift into poor copies of various characters around town.
This is great, Millie giggled happily. I haven't had this much fun since, well, ever.
She was taking a break from the clothing madness with Anodyne, the two watching Claire struggle to convene the twins to try to wear anything besides their own hooded outfits.
Surely you jest, Millie,
Anodyne spoke in disbelief.
Surely you've had some female friends with which to partake of the joy of friendship. I have yet to discover a single abnormality in you, besides those found in all human adventurers.
Thanks, Millie said dryly. But what I said is true. The few friends I had back in Durin could never come over to play because we all worked for our parents. After coming here, the only other children my age were the children of merchants and nobles, and those kinds of girls do not lower themselves to gather with people of my station. Millie said the last sentence sarcastically.
What a shame.
Anodyne shook her head.
I would have loved to be your friend had I known you earlier. We could have exchanged clothes and swords.
I thought you said you didn't own any clothes, Millie questioned.
I don't,
Anodyne said, slightly perplexed.
It must have been a slip of the tongue.
Millie examined the slime girl with curious eyes before standing back up.
Let's try one more outfit, Millie suggested. I have a set of adventurer clothes you would look good in. These have an outer portion of armor, much like the famous adventurer Fiora wears.
She held up a set of clothes that included an armored, collared shirt and a set of armored pants. Anodyne followed Millie's directions and flowed into the armored set of clothes. Her body adjusted herself to the size of the clothes, putting her at equal height with Millie. Anodyne admired the way the outfit felt to her slime as she poked it in as many places as possible.
I like this the best, Anodyne told Millie. This feels exactly like what I should be wearing.
Here, take a look at yourself in the mirror, Millie advised, as she wheeled the slime girl over to the full-size mirror. Anodyne froze at the sight of her image. Her eyes seemed to glaze over as her form etched into her mind.
Millie! Rowan! I'm home!
Fred's voice shattered the peaceful mood. Millie froze as horror dawned on her face.
Oh, no. Daddy is home. Doc hasn't fixed the hole in the pantry yet, and Rowan isn't back.
She quickly turned to the cloth holding Pixie.
Claire, do you have any distraction magic? Or, I don't know, mind control magic? She begged. We can't let him find out about the dungeon, or you.
Claire rubbed her chin.
I certainly could use my repertoire of pixie magic to confuse or mislead your father. But as a former adventurer, there's a chance he'd notice magic being used on him. Also, that wouldn't be nearly as interesting. Millie, why don't you go offer your father a drink?
To emphasize her point, the booze slime, which had largely been forgotten, slid over holding a wooden mug it had taken from the hole leading to the pantry. It split off a portion of its slime into the mug and handed it over to Millie. Millie raised an eyebrow as she examined the mug.
Is this safe to drink? It packs a small punch, Claire admitted, but that's only because it has a high alcohol content. The booze slime is made of pure alcohol and nothing else. I'm positive your father will just be woozy after drinking it.
Millie, said Fred from the foot of the staircase, is Rowan with you?
Steeling her nerves, Millie put on a cheerful grin and skipped out of the room to the top of the stairs.
Daddy, come on up. Rowan and I have been experimenting making alcohol from alternate sources. Come try it.
Fred, who had just come in after working the construction site, smiled softly at the sound of his daughter's voice.
All right, I'll give it a try. Wait for me.
He walked up the steps with heavy stumps and took the mug from Millie. He took a deep swig on the off chance the drink tasted bad and was shocked by the impact his throat and stomach felt. He coughed and cleared his throat, re-examining the drink.
Millie, ahem, this is a really good...
Fred trailed off as the hallway began to spin around. Millie caught him as he lurched forward.
Oh, that really hits the spot.
Fred hiccuped as Millie helped him to his bedroom.
I haven't felt this drunk since your mother passed.
I know, Daddy. Millie rubbed her father's head. Now, lie down and rest. You have a busy day tomorrow.
You're a good girl, Millie, Fred muttered as he closed his eyes. I don't know what I'd do without you. You're a good girl.
He stopped talking, and soon the room was filled with the sound of snoring. Millie tiptoed out of the room and shut the door behind her. Once she was clear, she ran back to her room to confront Claire.
I thought you said that drink was safe, Millie interrogated Claire. What kind of small punch knocks a man flat out? It is. What's wrong? He's just asleep, isn't he? Claire asked in confusion. My father has one of the best drinking constitutions in the town, Millie declared angrily. He's widely famous for drinking other men under the table at the same time. There's no way a normal drink would knock him out so quickly.
I said the drink was complete alcohol, Claire argued. I didn't think that 100% alcohol was dangerous to people. That's fairly normal, isn't it?
Millie yanked her hair in exquisite frustration and shock.
Claire, human alcohol reaches at most 60% alcohol content. Elves prefer their drinks at 75%, even with their high resistance to booze, and dwarves top their drinks off at 85. 100% alcohol is enough to kill non-drinkers and lightweights.
Claire blanked out for a time as Millie's words rang through her mind. She made a fist and lightly knocked her forehead as she stuck her tongue out.
Tee-hee,
she giggled nervously.
I'll show you a tee-hee, Millie raged. That's my father you almost killed.
The twins watched as the human and pixie ran around the room with an almost apathetic expression. Isla turned to her sister.
Aisha, where did Anodyne go?
Aisha raised her nose and sniffed the air. The slime girl had vanished in the hubbub of Fred returning home, and one of the outfits was missing.
Mama,
Aisha called out.
Anodyne left.
Millie and Claire froze. Claire immediately cast her gaze around the room.
The window is open, she observed.
The two girls raced over and looked out, but the blackness of the night obscured their vision.
It isn't safe to leave the house at night, Millie said frantically. I can't go after her until morning. Will she be all right?
I doubt there's anything on the street that can kill her, Claire admitted. But I'm worried she'll get too far away from the dungeon holes. She and the twins can only exist in places where dungeon mana permeates. The holes Doc opened around town have allowed dungeon mana to rise into the surrounding air, but since Doc isn't corrupting the ground, the mana is very weak. Her powers will be greatly reduced as a result, and if she goes outside of town, she'll die and won't come back.
Won't come back? You mean she won't respond? Millie asked in dread.
Her body will, but her mind won't, Claire fretted. I know she's smart enough to stay in town, but with her powers so weak.
Can you go get her? Millie asked Claire.
Claire shook her head.
I can't leave either. The rogue slime would most definitely try to eat me. I'm a large source of magic, which it would love to feed on. We're going to have to wait until morning.
Anodyne,
Please, be safe.
Chapter 21 Anodyne moved down the main street of Irontown, her brown-tinged slime emitting a small glow under the moonlight. No one disturbed her steps, as everyone was hidden in fear within their homes. Nor were there any guards, for their patrols did not take them where the girl walked. She walked alone in the night, unhindered and untouched. Her only companion, the sky above, looked down on her. She wore the armored shirt and leather pants, her hands and feet covered by the memories that shifted through her mind's eye. When she looked at her hand, she saw not slime, but fingers of flesh and blood. When she gazed down at her covered feet, she could feel the past tingles of toes and heel. Her body was her own, and yet not. Her mind was open, yet desperately trying to close.
Who am I? The girl beseeched the moon and stars. Where do I belong?
To thy master and lord, the moon seemed to answer. To he do ye endure. To he do ye swear thy loyalty.
But I know more and see less, the girl argued back. I listen, yet I cannot hear. Why do I thirst for more now than then? For whom do I feel these tears and wish to deliver myself?
Hark ye, the stars called down. Thy thoughts have always been thine own. Flee, flee back to where ye belong and entrench thyself within thy memories. Renounce thy loyalty, renounce thy faith, renounce thine unspoken word. The girl continued down the road, following the light of the moon and stars. The main road never twisted nor turned, merely continuing to the guild and gate. The side roads and their shadows began to call out to her as she continued down the road.
Come here, come to us, they beckoned. The road is too short, the road is too wide. Come to us and forget thine hardship. Come to us and forget thy pain. We will take you away. We will take you to shore, for the main road leads to pain evermore.
But she ignored the calls of the shadows, and she ignored the songs of the alleys, and she continued down the main road.
Go back, the moon called down to her. Go back to thy lord and display thy piety.
Go forward, the stars implored. Reject thine enslaver, embrace thine urge. She came to the bottom of the steps. The white stone blocks led up to a large wooden door with bronze knockers. The stone was silent, the wood was silent, and the knockers made no noise. The girl bent her head back and looked up at the windows. She said nothing, and her silence spoke volumes.
Who am I? The girl wondered to the window. Who am I to myself? Is it my prerogative to be myself toward others, or is it in my best interest to be someone else? When should I be one and not the other? When is one more truth than the other?
The windows said nothing, for their only purpose was to keep the desired in and the unwanted out. In that way, it was very much like a door. Except, doors are meant to be entered and exited, and this door was closed. She would not be allowed to enter this night. The girl bent down to her knees and shuddered in pain. Everything started talking to her now, the steps, the door, the windows, and the building. She heard their voices now, and yet the voice was her own. It spoke of things long forgotten, yet not so long ago. Then she heard new voices, not her own. They came from a far-off place, yet growing closer. She needed to hide, to think, to remember. She needed more than she had. She received nothing. The darkness closed around her, and the voices grew closer. She closed her eyes, and the pain disappeared. Only the faint voices were left, both hers and theirs. They merged together. And then, silence.
I finished my spell, Claire reported to Millie.
Now, your father will wake up refreshed, but will be too distracted to check on you or the store for the rest of the day. I won't be able to cast this on him again for a time, however, so he might notice something's wrong.
One day is all we need, Millie said reassuringly. Once we find Anodyne and Doc finished fixing his mess,